You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
Today we are looking at this series called What Does the Bible Say About? And some of you have answered that question and you've asked, you know, what does the Bible say about this? Now, one of those answers is one person put a question out. I found out who it was, but I'm not going to embarrass him today. But he put an answer. He put one down on a sheet of paper that said, "What does God's word say about creation and dinosaurs?" Now, in your bulletin, there's an answer to that reason. And there's a reason why it's in the bulletin, and I'm not preaching on it. Because every pastor in the EC denomination, not every pastor, I did not interview every pastor, but about 13 of the pastors that I know really well, and I emailed them about this question, they said, don't deal with it on a Sunday morning. Do a Bible study or something. Do not try to put a sermon together on that. And so I'm giving that answer to that person and for all of you to read. It's in your bulletin of what the Bible says about dinosaurs and creation. But I'm not going to deal with that, but we are going to look into a Bible study that might deal with some of those kinds of questions from the Creation Institute or something like that, that we might be able to put together so that we can get answers to people who have questions about that. So that's just a little side note, but that's the sermon series we're in, and we're in a broader sermon series, and that broader sermon series is this. It's called More Than Words, and the reason it's called More Than Words is because the Bible is under attack. If you believe statistics, and you know, you can take statistics or throw them out. I used to have a praise team leader in one of my churches that used to say all the time, you know, I don't believe statistics. Well, that's okay, but even if you believe half of what is out there, it's pretty dangerous. And so if you look at Barna and what Barna has said about the Bible and what people are saying on the outside of church about the Bible, it's dangerous. Like there is not even an inkling of that these are powerful words from God. It's just another book written by man, has no power. Yet in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is active and powerful. It cuts like a two-edged sword through bone and marrow and straight to the heart. And so when you take Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and if you take that as inspired word of God, which in the Evangelical Congregational Church we do, and you put it up against what the world is saying about the Bible, they don't jive. They don't jive. Because if it's truly an active word of God that cuts between marrow and bone and cuts straight to the heart, it cannot be just another book written by men that's some kind of fantasy. You can't have it both ways. And so that's the series that we're in, and these are very important topics, and today's topic is probably one of the most important topics. I'll tell you why later, but... So here's the topic this morning. It's going to be on the screen. The danger of unforgiveness. Someone on one of those pieces of paper wrote, unforgiving spirit. Talk about it, Pastor. And so I took that scripture, or I took that piece of paper, and I started to pray about it. And I began to see that forgiveness is even more important than I even thought it was. When I started studying. And you're going to see why by the end of this message, hopefully, if I do my job correctly. So the guy I'm about to quote, don't put up the quote yet, on forgiveness is a guy who by his own testimony had a mediocre life. Until one day this guy decided to read the Bible every day. And what ended up happening with this guy's life was he ended up being the voice of the audio Bible that you hear on a lot of websites. And what it did was it changed his life. And why am I telling you all this before I read this quote from him? Because I want you to understand something, that maybe you're feeling like your Christian life is mediocre, you could take or leave it. And one thing that changed this guy's life was, he said, from this day forward, I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to say I don't have time. I'm not going to do any of those things. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open the Bible daily. I'm going to read it. And he ends up becoming the voice for the NIV Bible, the NIV audio, daily audio Bible, which feeds, get this guy with a mediocre Christian life now feeds hundreds of thousands of people every day from the Bible. So I guess you could say he knows that the Bible is more than words. And here's what his quote says. You must forgive. You must. This is the only possible way to your freedom and the cancellation of your own debts. You must release people. You must do this because this is the only way you'll be able to release yourself. Brian Harden. The voice of Daily Audio Bible. Here are some things for you to know about forgiveness. They'll be up on the screen. Forgive as a concept is spoken about 75 times in the Bible. It's also, unforgiveness that is bad for your health. Listen to this. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to read it for you. There's enormous physical burden to being hurt and disappointed, says Karen Schwartz, MD, director of the Mood Disorders Adult Consultation Clinic, say that 10 times fast, at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. Chronic anger puts you into a fight or flight mode, which results in numerous changes in your heart rate, blood pressure, and immune response. Those changes then increase the risk of depression, heart disease, and diabetes, among other conditions. Forgiveness, however, she says, calms stress levels, leading to improved health. Maybe Jesus was right when he said you can't add an hour to your day by worrying about something. In fact, you take an hour away. This leads me to a question on the next slide. And here's the question. And then we're going to dive into the word today. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. So if you want to turn there with me, you can. How do we deal with unforgiveness so that we do not harbor it? How do we deal with unforgiveness so that we do not harbor it? I've been in the church long enough, for 40 some years. I've been in the church long enough to know that this is probably one of the subjects you did not come to church to hear about. Because it's just easier to unforgive. It's just easier to say, you know what, I don't like that person, and I'm going to continue to not like that person. I'm going to continue to do what I'm going to do, and it doesn't matter what Jesus has to say about it. I mean, we can be frank about that. We can be honest about that. We can say that because that's really where some of us live. It's really hard work to get down on our knees and say, Lord, I need to forgive this person, and I need to move on with my life, and I need to become a part of this solution instead of being a part of the anger. It's easier just to say, I'll just ignore it. The problem is you don't know what you're doing to your health, both spiritually and physically. And here's the other problem. You're doing damage to this church. When there's unforgiveness in the camp, God doesn't really move. He wants the forgiveness to be out there. And you're going to see this throughout these scripture passages that I'm about to read. So today we're going to open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to be focusing specifically on verses 21 through 35. This passage is one of Jesus' parables entitled by many, The Parable of the Unforgiven Servant. But here's where we're going to begin, in verses 21 through 22, and you know it well, and here's what it says. Then Peter came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus this question, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times, Jesus answered. I tell you, not seven times, Jesus answered, but 77 times. We've been where Peter is at this point. And so our first point is this question, and it'll be on the screen. Should we or should we not offer forgiveness to another person? See, the people in today's world, or in that world where Peter was speaking, were asking the same question that we were asking. Like, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive this person? Like, you don't want me to be a walking mat, do you? Or a welcoming mat? I mean, you know, if this person continues to sin and sin and sin against me and hurt me and hurt me and hurt me, you certainly don't want me to put up with that, right? And Peter asks that question, and Peter's the only one that has the guts to ask the question. I'm sure the other disciples are like, yeah, but that one guy, he keeps on hurting me. Am I sure that I want to forgive him? Am I sure that I want to be a part of that? And yet, Peter asks the question. And so back in that day and age, the rules were different. And what the rule said was, and what I mean is the Jewish rule said, you have to forgive someone three times. So now that puts it into perspective. Peter comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus. Because, you know, Peter always wants to put the best foot forward. And so he comes up to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, I need to know how many times do I have to forgive my brother and sister who have hurt me, who have broken my heart, who have done these things. And what Peter says is, do I have to do it seven times? And here's what Peter's thinking in the back of his head. That's four more times than the Jewish law says so. So I'm going to look pretty good in Jesus' eyes when I say seven times. And so he looks at Jesus and he says, hey, can I do it? Can I forgive him seven times? And what he expects Jesus to do, according to many who study this passage a lot deeper than I could get into it, what he expects Jesus to do is go, seven times, Peter? Whoa, let me worship you. Oh, I'm not the Savior. You're the Savior because you're going to forgive someone seven times. And Jesus doesn't respond that way. He doesn't. And so what the Jewish people were expecting to happen here is that if God forgives men only three times, what they wrongly reasoned is it's unnecessary, even presumptuous, for men to forgive each other more times than that. So that's what the Pharisees believed. If we can get God to get into this box that he only forgives three times, how dare him tell us to forgive more than that? The question is, how many times are we called to forgive another person? What is your number? That's the question. If you were coming to Jesus this morning, and you were living in a land where it was three times was customary, what would be the number that you gave? Maybe Peter gives seven, maybe you say 10. Maybe you say, I can tell you what, I can match that, I'll go 14. I'll match it double. I'll go 21. What's your number? How many times do you want to be forgiven is the bigger question. See, that changes the ball game. Oh, when we're looking at forgiving someone for a hurt, most times in our world, it's cross me once and you're a dead man to me. And what Jesus is saying is he's saying to Peter, listen, this isn't about counting, Peter. This is about how many times do you want to be forgiven, Peter? Do you want to be forgiven for calling, for saying that you don't know me at the fire after I'm gone? Peter, do you want to be forgiven for me for sinking in this ocean when you should have been able to walk on the waves, but because you got your eyes off of me, you sank in the ocean? Do you want to be forgiven for that, Peter? And I can go on, Peter. And so what Jesus is saying is not to count the 490. I mean, I sure hope you don't have a notebook and you say, well, they hurt me for 489 times. One more time, and they're out. Point is not to count. Point is to continue to forgive. And now I come to that very first introduction. This isn't easy. We have a tendency to want revenge, or we want to be able to harbor the fear, hurt, anger, and ill feelings towards that one who hurt us. We have examined the subject before. Unforgiveness really does not hurt the one who hurts us. It hurts us. Like, I can think of some people that I need to forgive, and like, if I'm harboring unforgiveness against them, you know what? They're living their life today. They don't care that I'm harboring unforgiveness against them. But boy, does it put me in a different mood. And see, that's the point of Jesus in this parable, what he's going to talk about here. Keep on forgiving endlessly. Don't carry a grudge is what Jesus is really saying. So let's turn to chapter 18 of Matthew, verses 23 through 27. It's on the next slide. It'll be harder to read on there, but you can read your sermon outline. It's the orange sheet in your bulletin. Here's what it says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Here's the point. Next slide. We all need to experience forgiveness. We all need to. Jesus tries to illustrate his point with this parable. He doesn't try, he does. We have a king who is trying to collect on debts that he is owed. Brought before him is a man who owes a whole lot of money. This man was in a desperate position. He was going to lose all he had. His family was going to be sold into slavery for the overwhelming debt he owed. Good thing we do not have that today. The man, it was in deep trouble. So what did he do? He begged the king time to pay it back. Notice in verse 16, the man is not asking for the loan to be forgiven, but rather he is pleading for the time to pay it all back. There's verse 16. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. I want you to notice that, because sometimes when we do a quick read of this parable, we think what he's asking for is complete, utter, no payments, get rid of it, king. But what he's really asking for is, he's saying, listen, I think the economy is going to jump back up and I'm going to be able to pay this off. Can you just give me some time, please? Can you just give me a few months or a year or whatever, so before you put my family into slavery and before you make me pay it back, can you give me some grace, king? And instead of the king giving him some grace, he gives him big grace. Big grace. And he pays it off. Now, we all have a debt we cannot pay. It's the debt of sin that cost us. When we commit our first sin against God, which is, by the way, when you first enter the world, we need forgiveness. If I wrong you, I need forgiveness. There is not a single one of us who does not need to be forgiven. One of the things that can help us in this spirit of unforgiveness, this question that we were asked, is to realize the need we have to be forgiven. Back to the parable. The man was pleading for time and pay back the debt. The king knew this man could never repay it all. He knew it. It was like one of us begging for time to pay off the national debt. It's not going to happen. The king did something astonishing. He forgave the debt. He did not just give him more time. The master extended grace, which is undeserved or unmerited favor. The master wrote off the debt. The word forgive means to dismiss absolutely from thought. Now, this does not mean the master was going to give the man more money. Let's be clear on this. He just released his right to retribution over the non-payment of the money that he first loaned him. There have been many times in my life where I needed forgiveness. What a great feeling. I cannot imagine how it would feel tomorrow morning if I receive a phone call. Well, he won't be working tomorrow morning. So let's say Tuesday morning, if I receive a phone call from Wells Fargo CEO saying, Brett Kindig, your mortgage is paid off. Yes. I've been wanting an amen from my wife for so long, and I got one on our mortgage. Who knew? All you have to do is mention mortgage, and your wife gives you an amen. Wow. The man is forgiven. He got a way bigger blessing than he ever in his wildest dreams thought of getting. Now the story ends. He lives with his family happily ever after. He's going to look for someone else to bless now. And what does he do with his forgiveness? I want to stop right there and I want to say, listen, this is very important. We must understand that we have to be forgiven. There's not one of us that stands here this morning that can say, I don't do anything that desires, that needs forgiveness. Not one of us. And so this guy gets this forgiveness, this great forgiveness. He asks, just give me a couple months, let the economy jump back, and I'll pay off the debt. And the king says, forget that. I'm going to just pay off the debt. I'm going to write forgiven over the account, and I'm going to rip it up and throw it away and put it in the fire, and we're not going to talk about it again. But the story continues in Matthew 18, 28 through 30. Here's what it says. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And here's the point. We ought to give to others what we have received from God. Did that just happen? Did I just watch a man walk into a king who owed him, let's say, $1 million? And the king walked away and said, I'm writing it off. That same man who was just blessed with the forgiveness of $1 million, like a mortgage of a house, forgiveness, walks out and finds a guy that owes him 10 bucks. Grabs him by his neck, chokes him, and says, give me my money back. That same man who was just forgiven, when he begged for time, was asked, can I have some more time? And that same man, look at the scripture passage on your sermon outline. It's not on the screen, but look at your scripture. Look at the word. He refused. Instead, he went off and told that guy, go get in prison. I'm sure he went to forgive him. The scene gets pretty nasty. And he ends up having the man tossed into jail for the money owed. And so I'm sure that that guy was finding him to say, listen, I know I owe you 10 bucks. I know I owe you 100 bucks. I know I owe you this small comparison, in comparison debt. Just give me some time. This guy's going to find him. He's not trying to hide it. Just give me another month or so. And what does he say? No, go straight to prison. I'm sure that we need to understand that the forgiven servant was within his rights to do what he did to the man who owed him the 100 denarii. He has every right to do that, but did you just forget what office you came from? So this isn't a matter of that this guy's going over his right. Hey, if the guy owes you money, $10, $100, $2, $3, you have every right to throw him in prison for it in that day and age. But did you forget what just happened? When we are tempted to allow a spirit of unforgiveness to overtake us, we need to remember the great forgiveness God has given to us. See, when we live daily lives and things get out of control and things get hurt and people's feelings get hurt, what do you think he feels like? I forgave your broken relationship, Pastor Brett. I forgave you things that you don't deserve to be forgiven. Rick owes you $1. Pay me later. No. And instead, you're going to hold that against him. Now let's look at how unfair this is. I've forgiven you everything, Brett. Any wrong you did from age 0 to age 43. And trust me, there's notebooks full of them. And this guy, or this gal, hurt you like this much. And you can't extend grace and forgiveness to them because, nope, they crossed me one too many times. Just how many times do you think you cross him? And so Jesus is setting this story up, and really the question comes down to this. Do we want God to hold us in prison until we can pay our debt? And by the way, that debt he's holding us into prison, you will never pay. That's what the question comes down to. The story continues in Matthew 18, verses 31 through 35. Here's what it says. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Which leads us to a very important reality, which is this: unforgiveness will destroy you in the end. It is a bomb waiting to go off. The other servants saw what happened and they reported it to the master servant. When the master heard what had happened, or to the master, who had heard what had happened, he summoned that ungrateful servant to his palace. The master chastised that servant and told him he should have shown the same level of compassion that was given to him. So the unforgiving servant was put away for the rest of his days. Jesus gives us a warning here in verse 35. And here's his warning. So also my heavenly Father will do the same to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Whoa. Now here's what we want to do. We want to dance around that. Does Jesus really mean every word that he says here? Is it the same in our culture as what it was in Jesus' culture? Does verse 35 even apply to us living out in 2019? The answer is yes. It's yes. And you say, but I don't like that answer. With all due respect, I'm going to step out of the pulpit before I say this. He doesn't care that you don't like that answer. It doesn't change his word one iota. Not one. And so in verse 35, Jesus brings it all to the clearing. And he says, listen, here's what it is. Here's the big deal. Here's the reality of it all. Here's this whole parable in one sentence. You've been forgiven millions, millions, trillions, billions of sins. And if you think you can then hold that one or two or three or 490 sins against someone else, you fit in verse 35. You will be put in a prison. You will not be able to react like you want to react. You will not be able to live freely like you want to be able to live freely until you can forgive freely. And some, me included, have lived in this prison before until we finally said, listen, this is nuts. I got a God who forgives me in spite of me, and I can't forgive that person for doing what they did to me. Now, this is easier. I wouldn't say it's easier preached than done. It's easier listened to than done. But the reality is that doesn't make it less important. And we're going to see how even more important it is. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to flip to Matthew chapter 6 in the English Standard Version. And here's what it says. It'll be on the screen as well. If I can get my, now my thing wants to do whatever it wants to do. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I've heard everything under the sun about this teaching. I've heard, well, God really could not forgive someone. I've heard a lot of things taught in Sunday school classes and in worship and in sermons. I think I grasped it this past week for the first time, sad to say. We can see that this is something very serious to God. This is something we must be able to do. I know for some of you, you heard this entire sermon now, and we're coming down to the end, and you've said, that's impossible. If you knew the situation I'm talking about, Pastor, it is impossible. But let me be an encouragement to you, and it may be a little bit hard for you to swallow. It is not impossible. If you've been forgiven in the first place. It's not. This brings us to the, I love fireworks. I got to say this before we get here. I love fireworks. I love to set them off in Woodchopper Town when we could. I love to do all these things. I love to be a part of fireworks. But the best time of the fireworks, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, is the grand finale. There's nothing like when we're at the Reading Phillies or we're sitting out on our porch in the front of the house and the Reading Phillies are shooting off fireworks and it's that grand finale time where they're just going up like blisters, man. They're just boom, 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 boom. And it's, I mean, you know, my wife doesn't like it so much because it wakes our kids up sometimes. But I'm up there, I'm like cheering them on. Give me more, give me more. Because I love the grand finale. And so this is... I mean, it's not going to compare to Reading Phillies fireworks, but this is the grand finale of the sermon because this is what forgiveness is all about. So I ask you this question. Do you struggle to forgive? Because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is setting a central path or point of being a disciple of Jesus, and it's this. You can throw it up on the screen. Here's what it is. You will be marked by forgiveness because you will understand just how far you have fallen. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 is saying to every disciple of his, and if you say you have a relationship with him this morning, that's you. And he's saying, you want to know what the central point of being a disciple is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And if you can't forgive and you still walk out of here and say it's impossible, if you understood my situation, if you can't, then you have to answer some serious questions. And I know that doesn't make you feel comfortable, and it doesn't make me feel comfortable saying it, because trust me, I've had to answer some serious questions this week myself. Hard. But it is the center of forgiveness. And why do I say that? Because Jesus is in that Last Supper situation. And what does he say to his disciples? He leaves them with these words. He says, listen, guys, if you want to know people, if you want people to know that you belong to me, make sure you join the Evangelical Congregational Church and support the bishop. No, it's not what he says. Make sure you join Faith. No, it's not what he says. He says, make sure you love one another. That means Judas Iscariot, just like Peter. Oh, now we're getting tough. That means John, just like Judas Iscariot. Love one another. How can you love one another if you're walking around with a chip on your shoulder with that other person? Newsflash, you can't. Oh. Pastor, you're going to have a PRT meeting on Monday. I know it's Labor Day, but you might as well come to work. So be it. You got a problem? Point it out in the Bible and tell me where I'm wrong. It's a central path. Forgiveness must happen. If it doesn't, here's what the last slide says. Someone who has not experienced the grace and mercy of Christ truthfully will not experience his forgiveness. He, she will be like the first servant. They will accept the benefits, but only superficially. Amen. Now, automatically, what people do is when you read something like that and you put something like that on the screen, pastor doesn't say you shouldn't judge. Yeah, it does. But in order to understand that passage where Jesus says don't judge other people, here's what Jesus is saying in that passage. He's not saying I can't judge another person by their fruit. What he's saying is I can't damn them to hell or put them in heaven. So when you start throwing out that you can't judge people, like it's this big old stance that, you know, I can't even say that that person's wrong for living that lifestyle because I'm judging them. How about we look at the Greek, where the Greek says, it is not your job to put me in hell or put me in heaven. That's his job. And so when he says do not judge, what he's saying is, you cannot say because that person's living that lifestyle, they're going straight to hell and they have no chance of getting to heaven. That's what he's saying when he says, do not judge. He's not saying we cannot say that person's living a wrong lifestyle, or we cannot say that person's living sin. We can clearly say that. What he's saying when he says do not judge is this: I cannot say because you're living that lifestyle, you're heading straight to hell, and there's no way you're going to get to heaven. And so when we get to this point, we look at this and we say, whoa, what does this mean? Well, it means what it says. If you've truthfully responded to the grace and mercy of Christ, you will experience his forgiveness, and you will offer forgiveness to others. If you played games with him and somehow just said the words that you needed to say, you will not experience his forgiveness. And you will not forgive others. It's tough. I wish I could have come in here and said, listen, you guys don't have to forgive. I wish there was a commentary or somebody that would have told me that. No, I don't. I would have burned it. But I can't, because it's central. It is your lifeblood. It's the only way. So what I want you to do is I want you to sit back in the next few moments. I'm going to play a video for just a couple minutes. I want you to think of two things while I play that video. You are forgiven. And as you are forgiven, you need to forgive. And while that video is playing, up on this altar rails is some nails. They're in a box on both sides. If you have someone that needs to be forgiven today in your life, if you have someone that you thought of during this message, said, man, this is really starting to get to me, I want you to come down and just grab a nail. Take it back to your seat, take it home with you, free, no cost, it's on me. I want you to lay it somewhere where you see it every day. Remind you of what he did for you. So when you're tempted to say, not going to forgive my child for that act of disobedience. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not going to forgive so-and-so for the hurt that they gave me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want you to think of it. I want you to hold it. And one quick thing before I have Tammy play the video. The video is from the perspective of the very guy who put the nails in Jesus' hands and feet. And so he tells the story of how, he says it, I've seen things that I wish I didn't see. I've done things that I wish I didn't have to do. But I'm forgiven by the nails that I drove into Christ's hands and feet. So if you have someone that you need to forgive today, come grab a nail during this song. Take it back to your seat and just focus on it. Say, what's my next step? What do I need to do to forgive them? Go ahead, Tim. You with my very lips.
seen things I wish I hadn't seen. Just the thought of your amazing grace. And I cried, Jesus, forgive me. God, I fall down to my knees with a hammer in my head. Six feet under, I could have been lost forever. Yeah, I should be in that fire, but now there's fire inside of me. Here I am, a dead man walking. No grave gonna hold God's people. All the weight of all our evil lifted away, forever free. Who could believe? Who could believe? Forgiven, forgiven. You love me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be reminded of all that we've been forgiven. Lord, we've been forgiven millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of sins, a debt we could not pay. And so, Lord, this week, this month, this year, and years to come, and months to come, and days to come, may we be reminded over and over again of the price you paid, so that we can forgive those in our lives who have hurt us in such small ways compared to what we've done to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in each and every life represented here today. That, Lord, if there's any unforgiveness that's out there today, my heart, in anyone's heart, may we be able to look at this nail and look at these nails and say to ourselves, He paid this price so we don't have to hold on to this unforgiveness. May you, Lord, work in each heart and life, and your Holy Spirit touch them powerfully. For it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.